Tomorrow night, Arkansas State University's Honor College presents the first woman to row across the Atlantic Ocean by herself. Tori Merton McClure is president of Spalding University in Louisville, Kentucky, and has a fascinating story that she wrote about in her book, A Pearl in the Storm, How I Found My Heart in the Middle of the Ocean. McClure made an attempt to cross the Atlantic Ocean during the summer of 1998, only to be slammed by a hurricane and have to quit after rowing almost 3,000 miles in just under 3 months. The following summer, she would complete her journey. McClure will discuss this tomorrow night during ASU's Honor Lecture of the Year. I had the opportunity to talk with McClure, and she tells about her book.
The story has a few layers. The superficial layer is I take a rowboat alone across the Atlantic Ocean. It's a true story. It's not Life of Pi. And the background story, the only reason I needed to write the book was to explain why a otherwise normal, well-adjusted woman would decide to take a rowboat alone across the Atlantic Ocean. And, you know, the forks in the road of my life are really not that unusual. Just I made some odd decisions along the way. And when I'm talking to young people, one theme I talk about, the opening page of my book, I asked my uncle, if I write the stories of my life, should I write it as a comedy, a history, a tragedy, or a romance? And he says, a romance! It has to be a romance! And there was a problem at that point. I had no experience with romance. History I could write, comedy I could write, tragedy I could write. My uncle said, tragedy's boring. Anyone over the age of 30 can write his or her life as a tear-soaked muddle. And when I'm talking to young people, I think my uncle's right, that we all have tragedies. There's nothing special about human beings having tragedies. What's special is what we choose to do with our experiences, the stories we create out of the things that happen to us. And so that's the thumbnail sketch.
McClure has been athletic all of her life, playing basketball in high school and college, as well as being one of two women and six Americans who were the first to travel over land to the South Pole, skiing 750 miles from the ice shelf to the pole. McClure tells how she decided to row across the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, you know, I had the great pleasure of meeting Thor Heyerdahl before he died, and I knew I was going to meet him, so I reread the book Kon-Tiki, where he takes a balsa raft across the Pacific. And he essentially says in the opening pages of Kon-Tiki, I took one reasonable step, and then another reasonable step, and then before I knew it, I had passed the boundaries of reason. And I feel like that's exactly what happened to me. I tried out for the Olympic team in 1992. I didn't make the team because I was too slow. That's why most people don't make the Olympic team. And I heard about this rowing race across the Atlantic Ocean in 97. It was a two-person rowing race. Signed up to do it with a friend. Didn't quite work out. But I came to the attention of some sponsors that wanted to sponsor the first woman to row solo across the ocean. I wouldn't have made that choice had I not sort of set my mind and told a bunch of school children that I was going to row a boat across the ocean. It seemed a little grandstanding to do it alone, and yet there was a sponsor willing to help, so I thought, okay, I'll do that. And the plan was that I would row the mid-Atlantic going east to west, sort of the classic route. And then the sponsor changed their mind and said, no, we're going to sponsor a French woman to row the mid-Atlantic, and we want you to row west to east across the North Atlantic, which is not advantaged by the winds and currents. And I thought, am I that crazy? And it turned out I was, and the French woman was unsuccessful. I rode 3,000 miles to the North Atlantic and got hit by a hurricane, and so was ultimately unsuccessful. Came back home to Louisville, Kentucky, the home of all great ocean rowers, and went to work for Muhammad Ali, the boxer. And it was Muhammad who said, Tori, you don't want to go through life as the woman who almost rode across the Atlantic Ocean, so I had to go back. But I went the easy way. I went east to west across the mid-Atlantic and was ultimately successful.
The title of the book is A Pearl in the Storm. The American Pearl is the name of the boat that McClure built and used for both trips across the Atlantic Ocean. According to McClure, rowing solo meant that she had to gather her supplies before she left, including granola bars, power bars, freeze-dried food, and other snacks, and she went across the ocean alone. She lost her ability to communicate with people and rarely saw vessels or other ships. According to McClure, she would row for 12 hours a day, giving herself five-minute breaks every hour to rest and time to eat meals. She also had to eat 5,000 calories a day just to break even. After the first trip, the boat had to be rebuilt due to heavy damage it sustained after a hurricane slammed into the boat. McClure says the hurricane stopped her on her first trip after 85 days at sea. McClure tells about what happened and how it was like being hit by a hurricane.
That storm arrived on September the 5th, and the morning the storm arrived, I capsized 5 or 6 times, and I thought, you know, I don't think I can weather this storm, so I went out to get my distress beacon, which I had quite deliberately placed on the bow bulkhead as far away. There was a little cabin in the stern, kind of a just a little space I could crawl into. So I crawled out of the cabin, crawled across the deck to get the distress beacon. In the time it took me to get out there, I had to, you know, waves were washing over the boat. At one point, a wave drove the boat so far under the surface of the water that my ears popped, which is kind of a bad sign. And I got the distress beacon, and in that sort of trip out to the bow, I recognized that I could not ask another human being to come out into that storm to get me. I decided to go onto the North Atlantic Ocean in a rowboat. I had to take responsibility for that. I tied the distress beacon to my life vest, went back into the cabin, and went through 5 or 6 more capsizes that day with the distress beacon tied to my life vest, not setting it off with my other hand. Two of my capsizes were end-over-end pitch poles. One capsize dislocated my shoulder, the next capsize put it back into place. And as I often say, that's my definition of a bad day. So I weathered the storm. The next day the sun came out. I bailed the water out of the boat, which took all day. And then that night a hurricane named Earl passed well north of my position, triggered a number of rogue waves. But I looked out and I thought, the waves aren't nearly as big, the winds aren't nearly as strong, it's safe enough now to ask for help. So I triggered my distress beacon. I was picked up by the container ship Independent Spirit. You can't make that stuff up. And they were headed to Philadelphia, dropped me off there. I returned to Louisville and, as I said, ended up taking a job working for Muhammad Ali.
And after the unsuccessful trip, Ali became the inspiration that McClure said she needed to rebuild the American Pearl and make the second trip, which took 81 days for her to complete. McClure tells about what she did the second trip and what she did differently.
Well, the mid-Atlantic Ocean going west to east, you have the benefit of the trade winds. And while the boat had no engine and no sails, it's certainly easier to row with the wind than it is to row against the wind. And as I was leaving, one of my mentors was a Frenchman, Gerard Debeville, who had soloed the Atlantic and then soloed the Pacific. And Gerard said, "Tori, this is the Champs-Élysées of the Atlantic," meaning this is the easy way. You know, there'll be no problem. And sure enough, there really wasn't a problem, although it turned into what the media turned into a race, because a Norwegian woman left from the same harbor at the same time. And, you know, a woman rowing alone across the ocean is odd and strange, but a race for national pride, now that's okay. And so this unofficial race was transpiring, and I finished almost a month ahead of Diana Hoff, and it wasn't so much a race in my mind of, I wanted to cross that ocean. And I was hit by another hurricane named Lenny. It's the same hurricane that put the young Cuban boy, Alien Gonzalez, out to sea. And capsized once in that storm. It was a kind and gentle capsize. I went heels over head. You always want to go heels over head. If you go heels over head, your knees hit the ceiling first. If you go head over heels, your face hits the ceiling first. And on that second trip, I patted the ceiling.
And the subtitle of the book is How I Found My Heart in the Middle of the Ocean. McClure explains that part.
At the beginning of the story, as I said, I had no experience with romance. At the end of the story, I'm married to Mac McClure. And part of this need to understand one's humanity is I had a lot of things that I wanted to do, a lot of things that I wanted to achieve, and I was very driven. And the thing that I most needed to understand was that sense of my own humanity, and that we are all broken and we are all flawed, and the only thing that makes that bearable is friendship and love and interactions with other human beings. And for reasons that I make clear in the book, those were things that I had pushed away and shoved out of my life. Most women do not need to row a boat across an ocean to understand that love and friendship are good things. So I also say that I rowed across the ocean because I was stupid. But there's a level of wisdom that comes with age, and I was in a big hurry to find it early.
That's Tori Merton McClure, who will speak about her experience during ASU's Honor Lecture of the Year tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the auditorium of the Carl R. Ring Student Union. Admission is free, and the public is invited to attend.